A very good morning, friends, and welcome to Wisdom Wednesday on Let's Talk here on Radio Pulpit with me, Rocky Stevenson, pastor of Benoni Bible Church. And today we continue our journey through the perfections of God, the glorious attributes that reveal who He truly is, in many respects holding up the diamond and looking at all of the different angles of who God is and seeing Him shine through each week. Our aim is simple: to behold God as He has revealed Himself in the Scripture, and then to let that vision move us towards worship, delight, and awe. And this morning we turn to a perfection that is often forgotten, often misunderstood, and deeply needed in our busy, efficient-driven age, and that is the beauty of God. And when we speak of God's beauty, we're not borrowing from poetry or emotion, we're speaking of a biblical reality. Scripture repeatedly draws our attention not only to God's power, not only to His wisdom, not only to His holiness, but to the breathtaking splendor, glory, and delightfulness of His very being. Let's open the Word of God together. At least if you can't open the physical Bible, you can listen to me read that to you, even if you're driving or wherever you may be. But let's look at the beauty of God in the Scriptures. And our first anchor text comes from Psalm 27, verse 4. I've preached through this psalm before at Benoni Bible Church. It's available probably on the Benoni Bible Church YouTube channel, where David reveals the longing of a heart that is captured by God's beauty. "One thing I have asked from Yahweh, that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of Yahweh all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of Yahweh, and to meditate in His temple." Psalm 27, verse 4. David's one thing, his highest desire, is simply to behold God's beauty. He doesn't ask for victory or security or for wealth. Though he needed those things, he asked to gaze upon God, to delight in Him, to enjoy Him. And David knew something that we are often too distracted to remember. God is not only true, God is not only right, God is not only powerful, He is beautiful. And our second text is Exodus 15, verse 11. Comes after the Lord has just delivered Israel through the Red Sea. Moses and the people lift their voices in praise. "Who is like you among the gods, O Yahweh? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, fearsome in praises, working wonders?" Exodus 15, verse 11. Notice the language: majestic, fearsome, wonder-working. These are not cold descriptors. They are words of awe, of wonder, worship, and admiration. Beauty is the harmony of all of God's perfections: His holiness, His power, His goodness, His truth shining through in perfect unity. And when Moses asked, "Who is like you?" the answer is, "No one. No one in heaven, no one on earth, no one compares to the sheer blazing beauty of Yahweh." We didn't need to think about one of the myths in our day, and that is that God is purely functional. That's one of the subtle myths in our age. It is the assumption that God is merely practical. People often think of Him as the fixer of problems, or the answerer of prayers, or the giver of commands, the architect of the universe, the judge of all mankind. And while He is indeed all those things, He is infinitely more. And this myth strikes God, or shrinks God, into a divine vending machine or a cosmic engineer, someone who does useful things but is not beautiful in Himself. And the Scripture doesn't present God as merely utilitarian. Scripture presents God as glorious, as majestic, as delightful, as breathtaking. He is not just functional, He is captivating. And God doesn't merely accomplish salvation, He displays beauty through salvation. He doesn't simply create, He adorns the heavens with splendor and fills creation with wonder, because beauty flows from His being. Creation is beautiful because the Creator is beautiful. I marvel at many of the sunsets that we get in the Kempton Park, Benoni area. Marvelous sunsets. You'll never see the same sunset again or the same sunrise again. The beauty of this created order that God has given to us all shouts out about the beautiful Creator who made it all. Psalm 19 verse 1 reminds us that the heavens are telling of the glory of God, and the expanse is declaring the work of His hand. Creation sings because its Maker is lovely. Let's think then about the beauty of God seen in redemption. God's beauty shines brightest in His redeeming love. When we behold Christ, the radiance of the Father, then we are looking into the heart of divine beauty. And Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4 verse 6 that the light of God's glory shines in the face of Jesus Christ. Think about the cross. The world saw horror. The disciples saw defeat. But heaven saw beauty. Because the cross reveals the harmony of God's holiness and mercy, justice and love, truth and grace. Nothing in the universe displays God's beauty more clearly than the crucified and risen Christ. This is why the psalmist cries out in Psalm 90 verse 17, "Let the beauty of Yahweh our God be upon us." See, beauty is not an accessory. It is God's eternal nature. Everything that is beautiful actually is a shadow that points to the real substance, which is God Himself, our beautiful Creator, who made this beautiful world. And why does God's beauty matter when it comes to wisdom? Because this is Wisdom Wednesday, and we're thinking about wisdom. Wisdom isn't simply knowing what to do. Wisdom is rooted in knowing who God is. When we see God as beautiful, then our hearts are drawn to worship Him. We don't worship because we must. We worship because He is worthy. If Jesus is beautiful to you, then you will worship Him. Our struggles find perspective when we see God as beautiful. When God is small, then problems are big. When God is beautiful and brilliant and glorious, then problems shrink before His majesty. But also, our lives gain direction. Beauty draws us. Beauty shapes our lives and our loves. Beauty determines our priorities, and this is why David says one thing. If God is truly beautiful, then He must be the center of our lives. Would you not cry out like David, "Lord, one thing"? How to cultivate awe and God's beauty comes from this type of a reality. And let's ask that question, how to cultivate this. And let me give you just a couple of simple ways to tune your heart to the beauty of Yahweh. Firstly, slow down in the Scripture. Don't rush. Read to behold Him. Ask, what does this passage show about God's character? What is beautiful about Him in this passage that I'm reading? And this is marvelous to think about. Write in the maybe in the sides of your Bibles, the things that are beautiful about God that are seen within the Scriptures. Meditate like David. One of the things that has been robbed from us in our day is the fact of meditation. To be able to really ponder on the goodness and the greatness of God. David wanted to meditate in His temple. Psalm 27 verse 4. Let the Scripture fill your imagination with God's splendor. And it's more than imagination even. It actually is reckoning who God is according to His Word. It's allowing your thoughts to think on Him. It's allowing your mind to ponder on Him. It's allowing your heart to be moved by love for Him. And then let creation stir you towards worship. When you see a sunrise, when you see a starry sky, when you see a roaring sea, let it remind you of the One who made beauty. God is the One who has made beauty. The next aspect is to fix your eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Every single perfection of God shines in Jesus. Look often and look deeply. Go through the Gospels and write about the beauty of our Lord Jesus Christ in your journal. Jesus is most beautiful of all. And then, as we think about the beauty of God, behold the beauty of Yahweh. I want us to close today on this Wisdom Wednesday remembering that God is beautiful in every single way. His holiness is beautiful. His power is beautiful. His love is beautiful. His justice is beautiful. His mercy is beautiful. His presence is beautiful. And David longed for one thing, to behold the beauty of Yahweh. May that longing rise in your heart even today, in a world that chases shallow, fading, beauty. Lift your eyes to the one whose splendor never dims, whose glory never ages, whose majesty never fades. Let the words of Psalm 27 verse 4 be the prayer of your soul. One thing I have asked from Yahweh, that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of Yahweh all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of Yahweh and to inquire in his temple. And let the song of Exodus 15 verse 11 fill your worship. Who is like you, majestic in holiness? There is none like him, and his beauty is worthy of your wonder, your affection, and your worship. So thank you for joining me this Wednesday today on Radio Pulpit. May Yahweh open your eyes to his beauty even this week, and may your heart respond with joy and praise. Remember what happened with that woman with the alabaster jar, how she broke that almost a year's worth of wage to put onto Jesus' feet because of the worthiness and the exceeding wonder of who Jesus is. This is the one that is worthy of all of our worship, all of our praise, for he is the one that went to the cross for you and for me. He is the one who knew no sin, who became sin on our behalf so that we would become the righteousness of God. Our Lord Jesus, the precious Lord Jesus, who went to the cross for sinners and took that shame so that we might receive the forgiveness of God. Have you trusted upon him even this day? There's nothing more beautiful than the gospel of our Lord Jesus, who gave his life for us. In this we know love, and what a precious love, and what a beautiful love of God that has been put on display through Jesus Christ our Lord. May you walk in that beauty even today as you consider the wonder of his glorious grace. May the Lord bless you. Amen.